And of course, he was a classical example of an unwanted child and an unthinking adoption, apparently. The kind of thing that's being urged on all the women who are bearing unwanted children, so they must put their children out for adoption, and everything will be fine. And the last thing I thought was that on the day of her birthday, Rosalind Carter had a DNC. Well, you know, we were told about it, customary lack of privacy. And I didn't ask what her DNC was about or why she had it. I guess none of you asked either. The newspapers didn't tell me. I believe that it was done at public expense at Walter Reed Hospital. I think she's entitled to it. But she does have private funds available, I understand, if she'd wanted to get it done somewhere else. Now, none of us examined the contents, the uterine contents of Rosalind Carter to make sure that that DNC was kosher. And I maintain all of us are entitled to the same DNC at government expense. Now, as I said, some of you may know this play. What happens at the beginning is that we're in a space. Evidently, we're not limited to any particular time. A man lies with his head angled up center stage, his feet obliquely toward the audience, his couching, which is by all means psychiatric in flavor, might also be astronautic, should incline him acutely, he almost looks as though he's about to be launched. There is a simple table or desk angled away from the man, a chair placed toward desk that will keep, that is my back, towards the man. You'll have to imagine he cannot see me, in orthodox psychiatric practice, but will give my profile or three-quarter view to audience. This man in a business suit at Rise is situated as delineated, and I am wearing a simple smock. I do not look at the man. He does not see me. He sits silently. Some time elapses.
Where am I? What have you done to me? Where am I? What have you done to me? Where am I? What have you done to me?
Don't worry. We have not done that to you.
That? What do you mean by that?
We have not taken anything.
Oh, but where am I? What have you done to me?
Are you in pain?
Yes, I think I am in pain.
Don't you know?
I haven't been able now to consider it fully. The whole procedure, strange room, anesthetic, nurses, sisters in some order.
Nurses, sisters in some order. Yes, that would cover it. Anesthetic.
Anesthetic?
Yes. We didn't want you thrashing about or suffering psychic stress.
I am suffering abominable psychic stress now.
Yes, I know. But the physical procedure is at an end. You are in remarkably good health. Arteries, heart, intestinal tone, very good. Good lungs, too, very good.
What has that to do with it? Was I too healthy? Was that it? Did some secret society deity decide that I should be given a handicap to even up the race?
Well, that is an interesting conjecture.
No, it can't be. That I was considered too healthy, that's preposterous.
Yes, it is. You couldn't really have been too healthy.
Then what have you done? Was there a handicap?
To even up the race. I believe that was your phrase. I approve. The race that we run, the race of man, as we shorthandedly express it, and somewhere in my memory, a line about the race going to the swift, yes, and then the association with handicap, a sporting chance for the less swift.
Handicap? Some sort of tumor? Some sort of cancer? Is that it? Is that it? What have you done to me?
No, no. Calm yourself. No cancer. No tumor. Not parasitic death, my friend. Parasitic life.
I don't understand you. What have you done to me? Parasitic life. Parasitic life? Pseudo-scientific claptrap parasitic life. Witch doctor mumbo-jumbo parasitic life. Wait a moment. There is a meaning to that phrase. It can't apply to me. Not to me. No.
Yes. It can apply to you. We have given you an impregnated uterus. Implanted abdominal cavity. Yours. Connections to major blood vessels were brought in very quickly. As a matter of fact, it was destined for you. It has achieved its destiny.
I don't believe it. I can't believe this nightmare.
Well, that is how many people feel upon learning these things. Of course, most of those people have been considered female. That made a difference. We've managed to attach a bit of ovary to the uterus. I don't think it will do any real good, but I will give you a course of hormonal and glandular products to maintain the pregnancy.
Maintain the pregnancy, indeed? How dare you make that statement to me?
I dare. There is a human life involved, after all.
There is a human life involved? You insane creatures, I'm fully aware there's a human life involved. My human life. My human life that you've decided to play with for your own despicable purposes, whatever they are.
Do you think you are in the proper frame of mind to judge my purposes? Your ultimate acceptance, of which you now so vociferously reject, the relative importance of your mature and realized life, and the incipient potential of the life you carry within you? Your life is certainly involved, but perhaps your life is subsidiary to the life of this barely begun creature which you would seek to deny representation.
Why should I give this thing representation? It's nothing to me. I'm not responsible for it or where it is, nor do I wish to be. I have a life, an important life. I have work, important work. Work, I might add, that is of more incidental benefit to the entire population of this world. And this mushroom which you have visited upon me in your madness has no rights, no life, no importance to anyone. Certainly not to the world. It has nothing. It has no existence. A little group of cells, a tumor, a parasite. This has been foisted upon me, and then I am told that I owe it primary rights of life, that my rights are subsidiary. This is insanity. I do not want this thing in my body. It does not belong there. I want it removed immediately, safely.
Yes, I understand how you feel. But how would it be if every pregnancy brought about in error, ignorance, through some evil, malicious, or even well-meaning design, were terminated because of the reluctance or repugnance of the host? Surely, the population of the world would be so effectively decimated as to render wholly redundant the mechanisms of Lebensraum, national politics, hunger as a weapon, greed as a motive, of war itself as a method. Surely, if all the unwilling human beings who found motherhood forced upon them through poverty, chance, or misstep were to be given the right to choose their lives above all else, the outpouring of acceptance and joy upon the wanted progeny of desired and deliberate pregnancies would eliminate forever those qualities of aggression and deprivation that seem so necessary to the progress of your society. After all, you must realize there are so many women who find themselves pregnant and unmarried, pregnant, unprepared, with work that cannot bear interruption, with no desire to memorialize a casual sexual episode with issue. So many human beings whose incidental fertility victimizes them superfluously in incidents of rape and incestuous attack. So many creatures confounded by sexual desire or a compelling need for warmth and attention, who find themselves penniless, ill, pitifully young, and pregnant, too. And so many women who, with the approval of society, church, and medicine, have already produced more children than they can afford. Surely you can see the overwhelming nature of the problem posed by the individual's desire to prevail as articulated by you at this moment. If one plea is valid, then they might all be. So you must learn to accept society's interest in the preservation of the fetus. Within you, within all in your condition.
Do you know that I want to kill you? That is all I feel, the desire to kill you.
A common reaction. The impregnated often feel the desire to visit violence upon the impregnator or the maintainers of the pregnancy.
You are talking about women. Pregnancy, motherhood, is natural to a woman. It is her portion in life. It is beneficial to her. It is the basic creative drive that man seeks to emulate with all his art and music and literature. It is natural for a woman to create life. It is not natural for me.
The dogma of beneficial motherhood has been handed down by men. If a woman spews out children, she will be sufficiently exhausted by the process, never to attempt art, music, literature, or politics.
If she knows that that is all that is expected of her, if she feels that the fertility, impregnation, birth cycle validates her credentials as a female human being, she will be driven to this misuse of nature as a standard of her worth, as a measure of the comparative worthlessness of those who breed less successfully. That will occupy her sufficiently to keep her from competing successfully with male human beings on any other human basis.
You cannot dismiss natural as an inappropriate term. My body cannot naturally accommodate a developing fetus. My body cannot naturally expel it at the proper moment.
Females cannot always naturally expel the infant at term. The pelvic span is a variable. Very often the blood or milk of a natural mother is pure venom to her child. Nature is not necessarily beneficial. We know that. We alter many of its processes in order to proceed with the exigencies of our civilizations. Many newly pregnant women recognize that the situation of egress is insufficient in their cases. In your case, there is a gross insufficiency. The cesarean procedure is indicated.
But that is dangerous, terribly dangerous, even to contemplate. I tell you, I am terrified almost to the point of death.
Others have experienced the same sense of terror. Their kidneys are weak, they have a rheumatic heart, there is diabetes in the family. As I have told you, you are in excellent health, and you will have excellent care. You will have to share with others a lowered resistance to infection, but you will not go into labor, and you will not risk a freak occurrence in which strong labor produces a suction through the large blood vessels that bring particles of placental detritus and hair and ultimate suffocation to the laboring woman's lungs.
Your comparisons are obscene. My body isn't suitable for carrying a child. There isn't room.
Many female bodies are as unsuitable for childbearing as yours is. Modern science has interceded with remedies. Your internal circumstances will be crowded, not abnormal. Your intestines will be pushed to one side. Your ureters will be squeezed out of shape, not abnormal. Your kidneys and bladder will be hard-pressed, all within the realm of normality. Your skin will stretch, probably scar in some areas, still not abnormal.
But I am a man.
Yes, to a degree. That is a trifle abnormal, but not insurmountable.
But why should anyone want to surmount the fact of my being a man? Do you hate all men or just me? And why me?
At one time, I hated all men.
I thought so.
I also hated you most particularly. I am not ashamed of it. She turns toward him. You may guess the reason.
I recognize you, of course.
And you understand a little more?
But that was so long ago. So trivial in the light of our lives. Your life, mine, so trivial. Surely your career, your honors, the esteem in which you were held. Surely all this has long since eclipsed that mere episode. Surely you didn't spend all those years training, research, dedication to learn how to do this to me.
Surely? No, I cannot apply that word to any element of my life. All those years to learn how to do this to you.
You really intend to go through with this, then? Then what will become of me? I'll have to disappear. They'll think I've died, absconded. My work, believe me, lives, nations hang in the balance. The fate of the world may be affected by my disappearance at this moment. I am not stating the case too strongly.
I recognize that. However, those arguments are not held valid here.
Why not? They are valid arguments everywhere, anywhere.
I think you are rather confused.
Wouldn't you be under these circumstances?
Yes, would be and was. So were many others. Couldn't approach friends or relatives, seemed to run around in circles, time running out. Tried things. Shots, rubber tubes, caustic agents, quinine, wire coat hanger, patent medicine. Cheap abortionist. Through false and real alarms, through the successful routines and the dismal failures, our minds resided in one swollen pelvic organ. Our work suffered. Our futures hung from a gallows. Guilt and humiliation, ridicule and shame assailed us. Our bodies. Our individual, unique, familiar bodies, suddenly invaded by strange, unwelcome parasites. And we were denied the right to rid our own bodies of these invaders by a society dominated by righteous male chauvinists of both sexes, who identified with the little clumps of cells and gave them precedence over the former owners of the host bodies.
Yes, I understand. I never thought of it that way before. Naturally,
Naturally. And yet you were my partner in crime. You had sex with me, and I had sex with you when we were both students.
Did you consider it a crime?
Not at the time. Did you?
I never did.
When did the act between two consenting adults become a crime, in your mind?
I tell you, never.
Not your crime?
Nor anyone's crime.
So, you committed no crime. You did not merit, nor did you receive punishment.
Of course not.
Of course not. You continued with your studies. Law, wasn't it?
Yes.
You maintained your averages, your contacts, you pleased your family, pursued your life plan. You prospered. Through all of this, you undoubtedly had the opportunity to commit many more non-crimes of an interestingly varied nature, did you not?
Non-crimes? Your terminology defeats me. Yes, yes to all of your contentions. I led a normal life with some problems and many satisfactions. I have been a committed man, as you know, and have done some good things in the world.
Yes, I know. Well, the non-crime that you and I shared had different results for me. Do you remember?
I do remember now, but I wasn't in a position then. I wasn't sure. I recognize my error, my thoughtlessness now, but I was very young. I had so much at stake.
And I? Everything stopped for me. My share of the non-crime had become quite criminal in the eyes of the world. Wherever I went for help, I found people who condemned me, felt my punishment was justified, or people who were sympathetic and quite helpless. I had no money, no resources. My parents were the last persons on earth I could turn to after you. I dropped out of sight. For a while, I hid like an animal. I finally went to a public institution recommended by a touch-me-not charity. I suffered a labor complicated by an insufficient pelvic span and a lack of dilation. I spent 3 days in company with other women who were carried in and out of the labor room, screaming curses and for their mothers. My body was jostled, invaded, exposed as a crooning old man half-heartedly swept the filthy floor. Many of my fellow unfortunates would come fresh from their battles to witness the spectacle of my greater misfortune. 3 days, and that cursed burden could not be released from the prison of my body, nor I from it. Finally, there was a last-ditch high forceps, a great tearing mess, and the emergence of a creature that I fully expected to see turned purple by the trial of its birth. What I saw instead was a human being, suddenly bearing very little relationship to me, except our common helplessness. I saw it was a female, and I wept for it. I wept and retched until my tired fundus gave way, and there was a magnificent hemorrhage that pinned me to that narrow bed with pain I shall never forget, with pain that caused me to concentrate only on the next breath, which seemed a great distance from the one before. Some kind fellow sufferer and my own youth saved me. I awoke to tubes spouting blood from insecure joins. The splattered white coats of the attendants made it a butcher shop to remember. I never held that baby. For some days I was too ill, and then the institution policy decreed it unwise. There was a family waiting to claim that female creature, a family that could bestow respectability, security, approval, and love. I emerged from that place a very resolved and disciplined machine, as you know. I worked, I studied, I clawed, I schemed, I made my way to the top of my profession, and I never allowed a human being to touch me in intimacy again.
It was criminal of me to have been the author of so much suffering, to have been so irresponsible. But I was stupidly young. I never could have imagined such things, believe me.
Yes. You say you were young, stupidly young. But what was your excuse when you were no longer young and stupid?
I'm sorry. I'm tired. I don't understand you.
Your daughter and mine grew to womanhood. And she and all her sisters were not spared the possibility of my experience and those of my generation. Because there you were again, this time not perpetrating unwilling motherhood upon a single individual, but condemning countless human females to the horrors of being unwilling hosts to parasitic life. You, for pure expedience, making capital of the rolling sounds of immorality and promiscuity, which you promised accession upon relaxation of the abortion laws. Wholesale slaughter, you said. Do you remember? Wholesale slaughter of innocent creatures who had no protection but the law from the untimely eviction from their mother's sinning wombs. You murdered. You destroyed the lives of young women who fell prey to illegal abortion or suicide or unattended birth. You killed the careers and useful productivity of others. You killed the spirit, the full realization of potential in many women who were forced to live on in half-life. You killed their ability to produce children in ideal circumstances. You killed love and self-respect and the proud knowledge that one is the master of one's fate, one's physical body being the corporeal representation of it. You killed, and you were so damn self-righteous about it.
I cannot defend myself.
I know.
But I beg you, is there no appeal for this sentence?
As it happens, there is. We have a board before whom these cases are heard. Your case is being heard at this moment, and their decision will be the final one. The board is composed of many women, all of whom have suffered in some way from the laws which you so ardently supported. There is a mother who lost her daughter to quack abortionists. There is a woman who was forced to undergo sexual intercourse on the examining table by the aborting physician. There is a woman who unwittingly took a fetus-deforming drug administered by her physician for routine nausea, and a woman who caught German measles at a crucial point in her pregnancy. Both of these women were denied the right to abortion, but granted the privilege of rearing hopelessly defective children. There is an older woman who spent a good part of her child-rearing years in a mental institution when she was forced to bear a late and unwanted child. There are others. You won't have too long to wait for the verdict.
I promise you that if I'm spared, that I will be able to do much to undo the harm that I have already done, ignorantly. This experience has taught me in a way that no other learning process could. I am in a position to, for the first time, I can truly identify. It would be to the advantage of all if...
That is being taken into account.
Is that the decision?
Yes. The board has decided that out of compassion for the potential child...
No, they can't.
Out of compassion for the potential child and regarding the qualities of personality and not sex that make you a potentially unfit mother, that the pregnancy is to be terminated. Thank you.
If it's a new day coming when you got the floods again.